Good morning. I guess some of you know that my messages are prepared about 6 weeks ahead of time, sometimes give or take. And today it was A Peaceful Surrender was the title, because this is Palm Sunday, and it seems as if when we read Scripture that Jesus was praised and loved coming into the city with palm fronds being waved at him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And indeed, in the traditional church, the palm fronds that were there, that we grow now, that represent Palm Sunday, are burned, and they're made into black ashes that we call Ash Wednesday in the church. Now, Unity doesn't do that, but it is a symbol of the fact that Christ was triumphant in his coming to the city, and in a very short order they were yelling, "Crucify him," because they wanted a king of the world, and his kingdom was not of this world. The peaceful surrender from being shouted Hosanna and loved and celebrated to the cross is quite a chasm. This week, the reason that I mentioned about the messages ahead of time is that I decided to change a little bit what I wanted to say. The challenge of surrender is that it sometimes, and oftentimes, it hurts, because it seems like we have to say, "I give up," and it means to our ego that I was wrong, or that I believed something that wasn't true, or somebody let me down, or something didn't go the way I wanted, or a cherished ideal. You can just extrapolate it from there. No matter where we are in the spiritual path, these things happen. We call it bumping into life. There are times that no matter what we do, how much affirmation we put into it, how much positive thinking, it seems like we're thwarted. And that's the time that we have to realize that it is for our ultimate good, that truth is directing us through our openness to receive it to our good, even though we may not know it. For example, we may say that we want a new car, and we treat for that. We treat for a material item. What we really want is the feeling that represents, the security of having that. It's always a desire that comes first here and is manifest outwardly. So when we say we want things, we have to remember we're really wanting security. And when we're thwarted, when we don't get what we want, we feel as if we failed or someone's failed us. And then that desire goes back inside, and it can turn on us, and it can twist into regret, recrimination, self-blame. And that's toxic. And because we're a group of positive thinkers, because unity means that, if it means anything, that we are one with the Christ spirit and the truth that he taught. If it means anything, it means that presence is always with us, and there's no place we can go where we're alone. And even the times we're disappointed and we feel thwarted, presence is right there with us. Sometimes we have to realize that the plan that God has is greater than what ours is. Sometimes we have to bow to the fact that there is something higher at work for us, and it has our ultimate good in mind, even if we can't see it. And I'm going to tell you something very personally. This has been a challenging week, and that's why I tweaked this sermon, or message, or, well, I don't like sermon, it's really a message. I tweaked it because I always want to be very real with you. Sometimes ministers get up and act like they're so far above all this stuff. I'm not, and I practice it every day. But I've done it for 38 years, and I know it works. And let me tell you that sometimes disappointment comes up and gets you on the blind side. And you think that no matter what you've done, how many books you've read, how many seminars you have attended, how on the beam you think you are, how prayed up you think you are, life just does it like that. I had that. And it tempted me to get into sort of a low mood. The incident doesn't really matter what caused it. It matters what I think, how I handled it. I had to go back. I don't like to do that, but I had to step back and see what was my part in this. Conditions out here most always reflect something in here. What did I assume? What did I not ask? Where did I decide to fill in the blanks with something that felt good instead of paying attention to what was? That's the human situation. That's the drama of it, because we fill in things and we tell ourselves certain things we want to hear, and we think it'll probably be that. It'll probably work out that way. And those can be critical areas that leave us disappointed. And guess what? We blame God. We blame presence because of what we set up. We are, if anything, responsible creators. That's what we're called on to do. Yes, we have the positivity from God. We have the love. We have the wonder. We have the magic of being alive. But the power of life and death is in our mouth. I didn't say that. Scripture said that. If you go through the Bible, you can see in many places, if it's read with a certain understanding, that really it's all about us. That sounds almost egotistical, but it isn't. It really is about us and how we use the power we've been given. What we speak, what we set into motion, what we CPA, create, promote, and allow. And when we do those things and we blame presence for it, it's like the rock that breaks every hammer. We can blame, we can question, we say, why God? Why did this happen to me? And love stands right there. Come back when you're ready. When you give up the blame of others, blame of yourself, the negativity you may have gotten into. Yeah, I felt that in my special place this week. And I don't like to stay in that frame of mind very long, because that can perpetuate itself. You know, really, the tongue. There was a book called Hung by the Tongue. What we speak and what we think, because we think in terms of words and pictures, mainly pictures, but what we think is very powerful. And it shows up sometimes far after we thought it. We wonder, where'd that come from? Or our mind is open to the race consciousness of other people, and it comes through us, something comes through us, say, where'd that come from? Because we aren't all, as Joseph Murphy says, prayed up. We aren't all washed out inside and clean and a perfect receptacle for spirit. That's the ideal. That's what we're called on to do, but we're also in a human experience. So, for a little while, I honored my humanity this week. And then I went back to remember that I teach and love and live truth. It's been precious to me since 1982. The first time I saw a Data Word magazine, the first time that I ever put it to the test in my life, it worked. It never failed me. I failed it sometimes, but it never failed me. And it always said to me, as soon as you're finished feeling sorry, as soon as you're finished feeling negative, come back. I'm right here. I love you. You'll walk on if you let your ego go. That's been a tough one. We want to hold on to this idea of our personality. We don't want to surrender to presence because we have a whole lot of ideas about ourselves and the world that seem to work, and we carry them around, and they're our cherished assumptions and what we call the truths about life that may not be true at all. You see, I believe that we ultimately win because this universe is rigged for our growth and our ultimate success. And what we don't understand right now will be understood later. And if it's not understood later, it wasn't for us to understand. I have ultimate and complete and total faith and trust in truth. And if I failed it, then I get up, dust myself off, and go back to the font of every blessing and refresh myself. I hope you all do that too. I hope there's a place inside you that you go for the refreshing, for the recreation of yourself. Life is, if anything, daily. And we can sometimes take for granted the blessings that are already there. I think a lot of us, and I've said myself, boy, I'd love to have $2-3 million. But you know, you're already millionaires. You just don't realize it. Because I could ask you, would you take $1 million for your sight, your hearing, your appetite, a leg, a hand? You're already a champion. Would you take $1 million for your loved ones? No. You want the security that that represents. And that's what truth gives us. Security, that the things that we desire can be a reality even if they don't express in the way that we say we affirm it. We bring ourselves to truth and we say, have your way with me. I affirm my oneness with you. I am a divine conduit. I am open and ready to receive. And God says, okay, I'll work with that. It may not look like what we think it'll look like. That's okay. His way, her way, its way, the thing's way, as Ernest Holmes would say, is the right way. We can't see everything, but we affirm that through our openness and willingness, the things we want, ultimately, the things we need, will show up and be done in our lives. Those who step away from truth, those who say, I'm agnostic, I'm atheist, I don't believe, they cut themselves off from a source of power that is so present and so wonderful. And I only can think that the reason they do that is because they've been hurt by some believers that haven't said it very well and haven't lived it very well. It's very easy to stand up and say words. It's hard to live them sometimes. But see, that's the fun of it. You see, I realized this week that I wasn't down. I'm either up or I'm getting up. I don't stay there. I can't stay there. I did that before. I was a young guy in my teens, and I never want to do that again. I took things very personally. I was pretty negative. And I felt the world was against me because I chose a difficult career. And I fell in love with truth because I saw it restored me, forgave me, upheld me, and gave me a path to walk that I have loved all these years. And here I am, a minister of truth. And sometimes I pinch myself because I'm doing absolutely what I love. And I hope that my life is an example to somebody. And I hope my failures aren't the ones that are concentrated upon when people think about me. I have them. We all do. But it's the way you handle them. So you're not really down. You're either up or you're getting up. Life is going to do that eventually for you. Sometime, some way. It abhors static vacuums. That's not Spirit's way. Spirit is active, omnipresent, omniscient, infinite, and right here. And yes, life and death are in the power of your tongue and also in your mind. Don't let a regret become a stone in your shoe that becomes a boulder later on. You see, it's so subtle. If you say, I failed at this, then what happens is other things that you may have forgotten, you think, I failed at that. And that becomes a little bigger. And you know that other relationship, they said, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger until you've got to do so much work to clear it. That's why I think it's so important to live in love and grace all the time. Grace to me is not a theological term. It is the ability to choose once again, as A Course in Miracles says, to choose another way, to forgive yourself, to forgive others, to go on, to walk on. You were made to experience victory. So was I. And even if it doesn't look like it, we were told to give praise incessantly, to be always in an attitude of gratitude and love and positive expression, even when we don't necessarily feel like it. Haven't you noticed the willingness to do something creates the ability to do it? Haven't you ever been in a situation where you think, I don't really want to be in this party, or I don't want to go to this thing or whatever, and then you go and you kind of get into it in spite of yourself? That's what I'm talking about right now. Any block you have, anything that hurts, anything that you feel like you failed, anything that would hold you from God's best, this is the place to release it and let it go. You're among people that love you, and they'll talk to you, and they'll help you. I certainly will. The truth of our being is perfection. We just have to recognize it. And it's hard in a world that seems hell-bent on telling us we're all the same, we don't really matter, get in line, take a number. You are unique. You are precious. You are the beloved. You are the Christ. Can you believe that? You are the Christ. When I said that to myself so many years ago, it shocked me and shook me to my core. It was much easier to have him up on a cross and worship him than ever do what he said to do. It was so much easier for me to look at the Christ farther away than it was to embody what he said, which was, love your God with all your heart, mind, soul, body, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. On this hangs all the law and the prophets. Those were the two greatest commandments, God and yourself. And in Matthew 7:1, it said, judge not that you be not judged. Don't give up the judgment of yourself, and you won't do it to other people. His ways of living were so wonderfully simple. And theology has complicated it so badly. This school of thought, that school of thought, taking his words to mean this, words to mean that. He loved, and he told us how to love, and he told us how to live. And if you may be riding into your Jerusalem with people right now that are waving palms at you, saying how wonderful you are, realize that it can happen that the same people can turn against you for whatever reasons they have. That happens. That's part of life. The trick is to see it not in duality, but in non-duality. Or as Kipling said, to treat praise and blame the same. Those two imposters. Praise and blame. Love and hate, if you'll notice, are very intimately connected. There really aren't a lot of opposites. They're just what we call that. Make a peaceful surrender inside you to those opposites you can't reconcile. God can. What you don't think you can do, God can do. What you feel like you failed at, God can make the greatest blessing of your life. And you can look back on it and say, I got through that, and it was the best thing that happened to me. When you give your all to God, God gives his all back to you. I've seen it. I've done it. I believe it. I know it. Anything you want to say about it that is affirmative, that's what I'm stating to you today. Give it up. Let it go. Set yourself on a new path. Not one place in the Bible do I remember Jesus condemning one person. Always was on the side of restoration, healing, and going forward. To those leaning on the sustaining infinite, today is big with blessings. Think about that. And today I want you to do something with me that we haven't done before. A united affirmation. I'd like to repeat something and have you repeat it back to me. Divine love has always met every human need. Can you say that? Divine love has always met every human need and will always meet every human need.
And will always meet every human need.
I am a infinite expression of the divine. And I'm excited about it. And I'm excited about my church. And I'm excited about my life. And I'm ready for the new thing to happen. Are you eager?
Yes.
Do you want it?
Yes.
And so it is. To you.